Again, we began with a question of the source of mukta, which is also a historical question. Meaning to say, on the one hand, the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Gimel speaks about how Nehemiah instituted certain types of mukta. On the other hand, the Gemara speaks about how when David HaMelech died, they have this whole question about how to move him. So that's also mukta. So the answer is, and again, in the Sefer Archel Shabbos, he questions it, but this is the most simple distinction, that there's really two dinim. There's real mukta, and then there's the Gezeiras Kalim. Right? Gezeiras Kalim, right, the reason for that could be that I might come to carry. The reason for that, right, could be that I might come to use it for Isser. The reason could be because we don't want Shabbos to be like any other day. But basically, Nehemiah said certain kalim are usher. In Gezeiras Kalim, we have a few different categories. Right? In real mukta, fundamentally the idea is mukta machmas gufo. Things that are useless is real mukta. Within Gezeiras Kalim, so we could go through that Gemara, and in ascending order of stringency, there's Kli Shemalachto Laheter. So the halacha is, I can move it for a purpose. But presumably, I can't move it for no purpose at all. I'm allowed to move it mecham alatzel. I'm allowed to move it to protect the keli. But if I just want to fidget with the kli shemachto laheter, so then I can't do that. Then the next category is kli shemachto laisser. Right? So Kli Shemalachto LaIsser is like the biggest category within Mukta. Kli Shemalachto LaIsser, basically, I'm allowed to move it for the Tzarech Gufo and the Tzarech Makomo, its mutter. And the halacha of Kli Shemalachto LaIsser, the other halacha is, once I pick it up, the heter, I can move it anywhere. Right? And the reason for that, we explained, based on the Ur Sameach, is that if Mukta, or Kalim, is based on Hotsa'a, once I pick it up the Heter, so then I can't possibly violate the Isser of Hotsa'a, because to violate the Isser of Hotsa'a, I have to pick it up with intention to move it somewhere else. Over here, I'm picking it up because I want to clear off the area. I pick it off, we have like Kli Shemalachto, but Isser Latzarach Makomo, if my dishwasher is open and I can't get by. Right? So Latzarach Makomo. So once I move it, again, it's not so relevant by dishwashers, but once I pick it up, I can move it anywhere. Right? If I pick up Latzarach Kufa, I can move it anywhere as well. There is a discussion in the Achronim that this might not help by the third category of Gezeiras Kalim, which is Muksa Machmas Chesaron Kis. At Muksa Machmas Chesaron Kis, the Gemara speaks about a Shechita knife and a Mila knife. Right? These are things that in the Lashon of the Gemara, it's Kapan Alam Yachad Laduchta. It's something that you're very careful about. You're going to keep it in a special place. So therefore, it has a din of mukta machmas chesaron kis, which many assume means I cannot move it, or excuse me, many assume that mukta machmas chesaron kis is a subset of kli shemalachto laisser. It has to be kli shemalachto laisser, but I'm very careful about it. But we discussed the possibility that maybe my smartphone is a mukta machmas chesaron kis. The primid godim has a chiddush. And when it comes to Muksamach Mishasarin Kis, there is no heter of Tiltol Min Hatzad and Tiltol Begufo. Let's take a step back. There are ways that Mukta is mutter to move. Okay? You can move Mukta by Tiltol Min Hatzad. Tiltol Min Hatzad means that I take like a heter item and I push the Muksa item. Tiltol Min Hatzad is mutter for a Dovar HaMutter. if I'm moving it for the sake of something which is permitted, then it's okay. If I have my radish, and my radish is in the ground, and I want the radish, and I'm going to pull up the radish by the radish hairs at the top. Again, it didn't grow roots yet. It's not yet attached. So that's tilta min hatzad letzarf davar hamutar. Tilta begufo is that I move mukta with my body. The Mishnah Berurah paskins, I'm allowed to kick mukta, I'm allowed to move mukta with my body as long as I want. The case over here is a Mishnah Kuf Mem Aleph. There's straw on the bed, I'm going to lie down on the bed, the straw is going to get moved, etc. So tilta min hatzad and tilta begufo are two mutter ways of moving mukta.
And that is that only when it's Sorach before Sorach Mokomo, or always?
Always.
For
Begufo, right, the Pashtus is I can always move it. I can kick my rock all day long. These kulas, by the way, apply even to real Mokta.
Okay, but not all of them. Not Sorach Gufo or Sorach Mokomo.
Sorach Gufo and Sorach Mokomo only is on Kli Shel Machto Esser. Mutzamachus the Sarin Kiss, I don't have a kula of Klisha Malachta of Sarah Kufa and Sarah Makomo. Mutzamachus the Sarin Kiss, the Prima Godem argues, I do not even have a heter of kicking. Right? Kicking is going to be Aser. I'm not so good at doing charts, as you can tell.
Wait, so for what did we say, or anything that can you use any of these for Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kiss?
So for Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kiss, most poskim assume that, most poskim, there is a huge discussion in the poskim, what does the Moel do with his knife after Bris Milah? Many assume that, after the Bris Milah, it's going to be okay. But any other form of Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kiss, you have no way to move at all on Shabbos. It has to stay put. The expression that we used, quoted from the Prima Godin, is that most forms of mukta, the pshat is that they are not designated. Mukta machmas kesarin kis, the pshat is that I pushed it aside. It is set aside, etc. Okay? So now, we have two broad categories of mukta, kalim versus real mukta. Two historical things. Within the real mukta, we have mukta machmas gufo, and mukta machmas iser is also a form of mukta machmas gufo. The definition of mukta machmas gufo is something that is not food, it is not a veged. Right? It is, like we gave the example, it's like, right, perek aleph of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. You can define the Ribono Shel Olam by what it isn't, etc. Now, this is the brief overview of the categories of mukta.
Mitzvah.
What? So mukta machmas mitzvah is, again, mukta machmas mitzvah, where did we speak about mukta machmas mitzvah? Look at mukta machmas iser.
Did we? Oh, so Mukta Machmas Iser also doesn't have these same things?
Mukta Machmas Iser, there's no... Yeah, Mukta Machmas Iser is like a rock. It's like a stone. It has no purpose at all.
Isn't that Mukta Machmas Gufo?
Mukta Machmas Iser is a subset of Mukta Machmas
Iser. Oh, it's a subset of Mukta Machmas.
In other words, okay. My Beged of Shatnez is like a Mukta Machmas, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Mukta Machmas Mitzvah, I'm not exactly sure where that fell in. I'm just trying to look for. Do I have it on the source sheet somewhere?
I don't even know. We said like the sukkah decorations.
Yeah, so sukkah decorations are. That is called mukta machmas mitzvah. I think that just means that I decide not to use it. It's designated for a mitzvah. Some assume that that could actually be a din d'oraisa, mukta machmas mitzvah, that since it's designated for a mitzvah, so I'm not allowed to use it for something else, but that also might be just that I can't consume it. I don't remember really discussing mukta machmas mitzvah in this semester. Like, I don't remember going there.
And then there are things that cut against, like, even though you could do some things, you can't have kishishal kli acher.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So now, once, this is the brief mukta chart. If I have an eraser, I would erase this chart. But since I don't have an eraser, what we're going to do is we're going to pull up within Kli Shemalach Dolet Isser, and we're going to make a few points about Kli Shemalach Dolet Isser specifically. Point one is the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush, a chumrah. Mishnah Berurah says, I cannot move a Kli Shemalach Dolet Isser. Let's take our paradigmatic hammer that I am using to crack open nuts. I can't do that in Yesh Lo Kli Acher. Now the Mishnah brings a raya, right? Pesach is coming. His raya is from the fact that when they would remove the skin from the Korban Pesach, so it says on Shabbos, they would use their arms to hold it. They would not use the big racks. So you see that the idea is that we try to avoid the muktzah as much as possible. So if you have a different kli, the Mishnah Berurah says, so you should not use a kli shemalach dolet iser at all. This point we noted is very debatable. It's very debatable. The Gilas Sefer doesn't like it. Many don't like it. They feel that no, there's a difference between something that you're doing zero iser at all. I'm holding it just in my hands, as opposed to a kli, right? Lav dafka, can you compare them at all? Especially in light of the fact that maybe all kalim are included in muktzah. Meaning, kli shemalach dolet heter is also a form of muktzah. So if I'm within the world of muktzah, it doesn't matter if I'm using muktzah A or muktzah B. Right? The raya from the Gemara is when I'm doing something that is not muktzah at all. So that is one nekuda that we mentioned. We also discussed in the context of kli shemalach dolet iser, we discussed the possibility, and that focus between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, if it is called Malach Dolet Iser. Right, if you remember, we spoke about if I have a wick, and the wick is now a partial wick because it burns up. You can't do anything with that wick besides Iser properties. So the Aruch HaShulchan is super machmir. He says this has the din of entering the next category. It becomes real muktzah. It's not a kli if the only purpose it has is iser purpose. The Mishnah Berurah says no. Right? Even if it's kol malach dolet iser, it still is kli shemalach dolet iser. That's the point that we discussed there. We also spoke about the definition of muktzah, of kli shemalach dolet iser. How do I define whether it is a kli shemalach dolet iser or not? Like my pot, which I use to store food, and the pot is also used to cook. So we have a little section which we call the rov. Now this is somewhat complicated, because it might not be based on rov exclusively. It might be based on the intention or the manufacturer's intention when the manufacturer made the kli, etc. We discussed a possible kula. That makes it to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch assumes that you should not rely on it, which is that you can move a kli shemalach dolet iser al yidei kikar otino. Right? The Gemara speaks about if I have ashes and like some wood chips. So, according to one read of the Gemara, what I'm doing is I'm moving the kli shemalach dolet iser because of the kikar otino. The pashtus is that kikar otino only helps for a mace. That's what the Gemara says. And again, that means mace is in the real muktzah category. That we have a kula for the mace of kikar otino. The pashtus says it does not help. It does not help for what's it called? it does not help for Kli Shamlachto L'Iser. We discussed in the context of Kli Shamlachto L'Iser, so I'm allowed to move it, let's say, Rekufa, I'm allowed to move it, let's say, Rekumakomo. So in this context, we spoke about maybe moving it, let's say, making somebody happier, maybe making a kid happier. That's not going to be a problem, because that is also considered a sorep, and that's going to be okay. The Magen Avraham has a kula in terms of that I'm allowed to do some sort of ha'arama. I can move kelim on either some sort of faking it. I could say, oh yeah, I really need this hammer to break open a nut. Oh well, I don't want to eat nuts. Okay? So the Magen Avraham permits harama in these cases, that is quoted in the Poskim as well. The Pashtus is that it's only called Kli Shamlachto, it's only called moving a Kli Shamlachto L'Iser, L'Tzorech Makomo, if you actually need that area. If Moshe Feinstein says, if I don't need the area itself, let's say it's just like it upsets me to have my hammer on the Shabbos table, that's not called L'Tzorech Makomo. But, and this kind of made us a little nervous, but let's say if I have a mukta on this side of the table, right? Or there's a heter, let's say, of tzorach sakana. Right? Even mukta machmas gufo, if there's any potential hezek involved. Well, it doesn't have to be hezek, because the plate broke on this side of the table, and just use that side of the table. So then we're mako on that also. It's not exactly clear where we go with some of these distinctions. We spoke about, again, the heter to move mukta for sakana, even mamish mukta. That's a Gemara on Daf Mem about Kotz Bershas Harabim, and I give you the sources for that on the top of page 9.
And is that true also for Chisaron Kis and everything?
So the Pashtus is for sakana, you can move everything. Again, because it's a heter of sakana. I don't know that Prima Gudim who says that Muksa Matas Chisaron Kis is like set aside and can't do anything with it. To assume it's like there's no heter of Makom Sakana, I think is, you know, to use another Yiddish word, it's far fetched.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would argue. Okay. Then, once we got into our conversations of mukta machmas gufo, back to, we're sort of kind of jumping around at this point, but in the real mukta category, we had a discussion about whether pets are real mukta. If you remember, there is a tshuva in the Maharaf or Zerua, where he says that if it is tweedy, if it's like mitzvah safe, and that makes people happy, so then that is going to be considered Tzorach B'nei Adam, and that's not going to be a real mukta. But the next true Marachar Zerua quotes in the Rosh that it is a problem. Chacham Uvadi Yosef, and I think the majority of poskim say, if you have Gedolei HaPoskim like the Rosh versus others, then it is, you follow the Rosh. So pets would be fundamentally mukta. There are some poskim who say, Rabbi Jachter, quotes Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, used to say that you can move a pet if it's really necessary, like the kid needs it, like for a therapy type of thing, then it's going to be okay. In that situation, you can rely on my Rav Arzarua. What we noticed is that Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva says beferish that it's usher to move an aquarium, like a fish tank is usher. But yet in the back of the Muktzah Bell, in the Muktzah book, it sounds like it's Mamish Aser. When this tshuva is printed in Chelek Hay of Igris Moshe, so Rav Moshe says that pets are okay, I didn't know how to square that. It seems to be a contradiction of Rav Moshe's, but we pointed out that like volume 5 of Igris Moshe is questionable in terms of its authenticity. That was our conversation that we had in terms of pets. We then had a conversation in the context of Mukta Mahmas Gufo, or Mukta Mahmas Isser, which is a form of Mukta Mahmas Gufo, that perhaps, this was like our still unresolved issue, perhaps when the woman expresses milk on Shabbos, and to avoid the malacha of dosh, the woman is expressing milk into, you pointed out you should use vinegar, not soap or something, not detergent, okay, so you express it into vinegar, but shouldn't it be an Isser Toto Mukta after, and then there's no heter to take it and dump it down the sink, because you're not allowed to move it. By Mukta Machmas Gufo, the majority shita in the postgame, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Dokum Erevavars Mekom, but it sounds like the majority shitas in postgame are Mukta Machmas Gufo, even if I have it in my hand, I'm not allowed to move it wherever I want. That's a kula only by Kalim. So it's unclear what the heter is. As you know, this Shaila is currently on a group chat, and we'll have to see what Rav Rimon says. After we went through these categories of Mukta, so just going along on page 21, so we got into a basis. The pashtus is that a basis takes on, like Rashi's lashon is, that basis becomes like bottle to the thing that's on it. And a basis with davar ha'aser, let's say my tray, or let's say my candlestick is bottled to the flame. So therefore it all becomes mukta. Now the halakha is, if it's basis with davar ha'aser and with davar ha'mutter, so then it's not really a basis, but what I have to do is, it's basis with the mukta also, I have to do nir. I have to like shake it off. The only time I could really move it is if shaking it off is not going to be an option, if the thing will break or the like, then I don't have to shake it off. So this conversation became very intense, because the tray that supports the minhag Yisrael is that people put the challahs on the table when they light candles in order to make sure that the table is not only a basis for davar ha'aser, it's also a basis for davar ha'mutter. And then they can move the table. There's a bit of a discussion with Prima Gadim, maybe you can't move the table if the challahs are removed, but the pashtus is that once the challahs are there, you can move the table ad kan. You can't move the table, by the way, when the candles are still going, potentially because you're going to make the candles extinguish, but once the candles go out, if the challahs are there, it should be, it is okay. Now, the question of the challah of the tray under the candles and whether that has the din of a basis, so it should have a din of a basis, can I remove that din of basis by what? By putting something else on that tray. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that if it's like a large enough tray to support other stuff, so then you can... in that situation, the tray becomes with davar ha'aser and with davar ha'mutter, and that's going to be okay. Since you can't do niyor, you can't get rid of the muksa just by dumping it off, because it'll break, etc. So therefore, it's going to be okay, at least according to that Rav Moshe. And we saw in the Aruch HaShabbos and others that some question that, but that is what Rav Moshe assumes. So far, so good? Now, in the context of buses, so the halakha of basis, it only becomes batal if I am the vatel it. If I put the iser on the table, on the tray, so then it becomes a basis. That means it has to be meniyah, but not shabbat. If I just forget it there, so then it doesn't become a basis. We discussed cases about, let's say, I put it down intending to remove it later on, that still is considered shachach, that is not called a niach, and therefore the item does not become a basis at all. We had a bit of a discussion about if I have mukta, which is on something that's not an ikar ha-kli, not an ikar ha-beget. We spoke about drawers and we spoke about pockets. We know that there's different types of pockets. There's men's shirt pockets, which they don't have now, and there are, let's say, pants pockets. The pants pockets might come out. Drawers, it depends if the drawer can come out, it can't come out, and it's relevant in terms of whether it becomes, whether the entire item becomes a buses because of what's in the pocket. If I view the pocket as a separate entity, so then the entire item does not become a buses based on that. The last conversation that we had in Hilchos Mukta was the halacha of mukta in the sense of nolad. It's not really mukta. The Gemara in the beginning of Beitza says that a machlokes would be Yehuda Reb Shimon when he holds a mukta. The Gemara's conclusion is that there are two different categories, mukta and nolad, but if you hold a mukta, you happen to hold a nolad. That's just the way it works. Nolad means something that did not exist before Shabbos and then comes into existence. There are different forms of nolad. There is something that is called nolad gomor. The thing mamish did not exist at all. So nolad gomor, we assume, is going to be usher even on Shabbos. However, if it's a nolad she'enol gomor, that's going to be usher on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. For example, the pits of my apricots or whatever, that's a nolad she'enol gomor. It was there, it just was hidden, etc. So that's going to be mukta on Yom Tov, but it's not going to be mukta on Shabbos. The question that came up is, the Gemara says that the rain is not considered a nolad gomor because we paskin that rain is in the clouds. So it was there already. It's just coming down. It's like the cloud opens up and it comes down. It's mifkad pocket. Right? That's like the way we could say it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says, well, that's true of rain, it's not true of snow. Snow is not really inside the clouds like that. We did not fully understand that. The pashta says that snow is not going to be mukta, providing the soul is still clean. If the snow is like dirty, yucky, etc., then it is going to be mukta. Nonetheless, we discussed the fact that you should be allowed to shovel snow, assuming there's an Erev, because it goes back to our discussion, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem, and moving even real mukta, letzorach, hezek, and the like. We also spoke about putting salt out on the putting salt out on the snow. The salt, on some level, could be better, or the question is whether it's in a moled. I'll say it like this. Moled sounds like nolad, but it's very different. Nolad is a form of mukta. Moled means I'm doing a maisa that comes off like a molacha. If I crush snow, it appears like I'm changing something. The assumption is that with salt, it doesn't happen right away. There's no appearance that you're changing something, so therefore it is going to be okay to put the salt out on Shabbos. So I think this is our very brief muksa summary. Questions, comments, observations, jokes? Okay, I got a smile from two people. Okay, I think this is...